Our next speaker is Brother Michael Shepherd. Michael was born in Mobile, Alabama. He is married to the former Luverne Mays of Whistler, Alabama, and they have two daughters, Eunice and Michelle. He had biblical studies. His preaching has taken him in gospel meetings and campaigns and lectureships into a number of the states in the South. He is presently working with the West Side Congregation in Pensacola, Florida. It was my pleasure to get to know Brother Michael some 2 years ago through a mutual friend, to hear of his good work, and we're especially happy to have him with us today. Brother Michael.
It's indeed a great joy to be on the campus of Faulkner University and have the fellowship and camaraderie with brethren. I've enjoyed myself since I first arrived on yesterday, especially being in fellowship with Brother Basil Overton. When I was a student at International Bible College, I had the privilege to ride through Tennessee with him in gospel meetings and efforts. And it was profitable to us. All of those that have come, Preacher Training School and Pensacola and their students and faculty, we just appreciate the encouragement. Being taught the gospel and baptized by a Faulkner University grad, I have been long involved with the writings of Brother Wendell Winkler. Tremendous man. And I'm reminded of the late Sir Winston Churchill, who once said, "Never in the annals of history have so much been owed by so many to so few." And my, how indebted we are to great men of God who has made such great, great contributions to the ongoing of God's cause. As Brother Brennan said, the manuscript will cost you $14.99. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is which unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except it be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sounds went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But unto Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, Romans chapter 10. In connection with the assigned lectureship topic, preach the word, we just want to use for a springboard that a verse, the word of faith which we preach. There are many, many passages in the Bible, such as Acts 6:7, that tells us a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Paul said, I now preach that faith which I once destroyed, Galatians 1:23. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. And the Bible goes on and on telling us about this precious system of faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that must be obeyed by all nations, Romans 1:5 and Romans chapter 16 and verse number 26. But a main text can be used could be 2 Corinthians 4:13, which is a quote from the 116th Psalm that proved both David and Paul was in concert on this theme, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. And our study today is preach the word of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who just judged the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exalt with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they, and that they in this context refer to brethren, they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I'll finish my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me in that day, but not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. Preach the word urgently. Titus 2 verse 1, speak the things that befit all that are doing sound doctrine. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And then those ringing, challenging words of Romans 1:14, 15, and 16. I'm dead to preach and I'm ready to preach it. I'm not ashamed to preach it, for the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power to save. In 1 Corinthians 9:12, and we usually get verse 16 and leave verse 12 out, in 1 Corinthians 9:12, suffer all things, lest the gospel of Christ be hindered. Then verse 16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But if there is a verse of deep sorrow and anguish along this theme, it's 2 Corinthians 4:3. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. One of the most saddest verses in all of the Bible have to be Romans 10:16. They've not all obeyed the gospel. And still today, they've not all obeyed the gospel. And one reason why, we are not preaching it as clear as we once did. And as thoroughly, a lot of people not hearing the gospel. They're hearing everything but the gospel. But in Romans 2:16, God says the time will come when I shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And in clarion terms and tones, the great apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, say, even we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we preached unto you, than that which you receive, let him be accursed. May the anathema of heaven rest upon him, cut off from the favor of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul say, I delivered unto you that which I also received. And it was the stage plank, the basic fact of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God. Then he say, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 9 tell those of us who preach the gospel should live by the gospel, should be supported by the gospel. And based on how little some preachers preach it, they ought to starve. We need to preach a double portion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We always hear preachers preaching, and we preachers always preaching on what the church must do to be saved, what that lost soul must do to be saved, what denominationalism must do to be saved. But tell me something, what must we preach to be saved? Some preachers act just like they got a choice, like it's alternative routes to pursue. But according to the Lord himself, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher in every nation until the end of time, and I'll be with you. We have no choice if we be faithful to the word of the Lord. In Acts 4:18, the Sanhedrin said to the apostles, don't you speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. We'll put you in the prison if you do. When they released them, Acts 5:25 said the apostles were standing in the temple doing the very same thing they had been forbidden to do, preaching Christ. So the Sanhedrin council called them in essence and said, are you men deaf? We told you not to do that anymore. The apostle Peter, again being the spokesman of the crowd, say, we have a problem here. You tell us not to preach it. The Lord commands us to preach it. We ought to obey God rather than man. The Sanhedrin council say, well, we just going to have to beat you if you keep preaching it. And they were beaten for preaching the gospel. And the next verse say, they went away rejoicing because God called the word of the supper for the name and the cause of Christ. And the next verse say, daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. In Acts 8:4, the Magna Carta, the whole essence of Acts, said they went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 12:24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 14:1-3, they so spake boldly that a great multitude believed. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Romans 10:18, that sound went out into all the earth. Colossians 1:6-1:23, all creation under heaven heard the gospel. All the world heard it. The Roman Empire had the gospel emblazoned across it like wildfire, because those ancient faithful men of God did not want to go and face God in judgment being guilty without imparting it. 1 Timothy 5 tells those of us who preach to preach without fear of favor, without partiality. And that's a very difficult thing for some people to do. God is no respecter person, and neither should we be. Romans 2:11 and 1 Kings 18:21. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And we ought to have that unequivocal, that uncompromising, that unbending view as gospel preachers. I'm going to present the truth if the walls crack, if all the demons in hell tremble. If we need brethren and don't want to back it, I'm still going to preach it, because God told me to preach it. I don't have no choice if I'm going to be a faithful proclaimer of the faithful word. One of my favorite Old Testament verses is Psalm 119:46. Well, the psalmist say, I'll not be ashamed to speak of thy word before kings, and neither should we be. No one is too good for the gospel. We need to preach it in Burger King. We need to preach it in Chuck E. Cheese. We need to preach it everywhere we go. Paul believed that, so he preached to King Agrippa. When the world thought King Agrippa had Paul on trial, Paul had King Agrippa on trial under the tribunal of God, the banner of the gospel. We shouldn't apologize for it. In 2 Peter 1:12 and 2 Peter 3:1, right in the brethren, Peter said, though you know these things, I stir up your pure mind, beware remembrance. And we ought to stir up minds too. When people come to hear us preach, if we don't provoke them unto love and good works, Hebrews 10:24, it's not gospel preaching. A fellow doesn't have to preach much gospel to get all over me. And that should be true of everybody up in here. We need to preach the word without fear of favor. In 1 Kings 22:14, the unsung prophet Micaiah, one of the greatest men who ever lived, said, as the Lord liveth and speaketh unto me, that will I say. In Galatians 4:16, a voice that can help you out of many a scrape, Paul said, am I your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. In Galatians 1:10, if I be pleasing men, I'll not be a servant of Christ. In James 4:4, whosoever make himself a friend of the world is yet making himself an enemy of God. Neighbor, I don't want to be an enemy of God. I want God to say when I face him in judgment, shepherd, at least you did your best to preach the truth without apology and without compromise. I'm going to tell you one of the all-time great preachers. And I hope everybody's listening carefully, because you need to know this fellow. His name is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah didn't have but one friend, and that was Baruch. And chapter 45, he had to rebuke him. And Jeremiah 8:8, Jeremiah said, where is the wise? And then inspiration answered his own question in the very next stroke of the pen. In the ninth verse, he said, they are not wise if they know not the word of God. And I don't care how many doctorate degrees a man got strung beside his name. If he don't know the word of God, don't live the word of God, don't rightly divide this book, he's dumb. If a man hadn't gotten to the third grade and he lives and preaches the gospel, neighbor, he's brilliant. And I maintain we're going to need some more. We're going to need some more of them third grade gospel preachers who are just buckle down and preach the truth. In Jeremiah 15:16, he said, his word was found out of them, and they were the rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 17:15, Jeremiah said, where is the word of the Lord? Nobody should never have to ask us that if we claim to be gospel preachers. We ought to give them a double dose of it. In Jeremiah 20:9, his word was in my heart and like a fire shut up in my bone. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not contain. And then that great evangelistic frame of Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:29, is not his word like a fire and like a hammer to break the rock in pieces? There goes Saul so preaching right there. His word is like a hammer to break a rock in pieces. All across our brotherhood in 1998, we got too many smooth, suave, entertaining, wannabe popular after dinner speakers standing in too many pulpits. They don't preach enough gospel to save nothing. We need to have the gospel flowing out of us. Sometimes when you preach bluntly and plainly and straightforward, people want to say, well, you're not like Jesus. But Luke 24:32 say Jesus taught the word. Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures and talked with us by the way? The devil found out what kind of preacher Jesus was in Matthew 4. He was a book, chapter, and verse preacher. Three times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Faithful preaching of the faithful word. Neighbor, we are not in a popularity contest. We in service unto God. Jeremiah 37:17, a Hebrew ruler said to Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? He really wasn't genuine and sincere. But Jeremiah said, yes, there is a word from the Lord, but you're not going to like it. Well, the king said, well, tell it to me then. And Jeremiah got to divine that Old Testament. True enough, the king didn't like it. And back in the dungeon, old Jeremiah went. And that didn't mean a concrete jail cell with central air and central heat, 3 square meals a day, taller facilities than Medicare. It meant a hole in the ground on the side of a mountain where spiders, snails, snakes, and scorpions was in it. It was a type of place where they had to lower some ropes to put that on his armpit to drag him out. And he was in there 3 or 4 times for preaching the truth. Every time a gospel preacher reads Psalm 130 verse 1, he ought to think of Jeremiah. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And he was often in the depths because he taught the truth. In Amos 5:15, we're told to hate the good and hate the evil and love the good. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, God said, I'll put my words in your mouth. Now here's what you do. Tear down, root up, pluck up, destroy, and then plant and build. 4 negatives, 2 positives. It's a lot of my preaching brethren hadn't read Jeremiah in a long time. In 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit spake by me and his word was in my tongue. And his word ought to be on our tongue, in our mouth, on our lips, and in our hearts, and in every message we present. We to leave the landmarks alone, Hosea 5:10. Remove not the ancient landmarks, Proverbs 22:28. Consider the days of old, Psalm 77:5. And let's go forward, back to the Bible. That ought to be our thrust and emphasis. In fact, Habakkuk 2:2 say, write it on tables of stone and make it so plain that those who run may read it. God told Jonah in Jonah 3:2, preach the preaching I bid you to preach. And neighbor, that's the kind of preaching we need. Rebuking preaching. We need God's word proclaimed. When I think of the assigned topic, preach the word of God as set out in scripture, right at the top of that list, it's got to be Paul's great sermon in Antioch of Pisidia. Do you have the concept of how much courage it took for that gospel preacher to be standing in those own people's church house, that denominational building, when they already hated the message he was going to present, Christ, and they hated him for obeying Christ? He was labeled a turncoat, guilty of treason. Paul had once been a leader of the Jews, but now he's opposing Judaism. He's preaching Christ. He's not in a friendly congregation where 99.9% of the people he's preaching to is his brethren and who believe what he believes. He's in the midst of people who are deeply angered at the position he takes. But nevertheless, what did that faithful gospel preacher say to him in his lesson? Acts 13:38-39. Through Christ, preaching to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him who Moses? No, by Christ, you can be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. How did they like that? They liked it so well they wanted to kill him. But what did he tell him at the end of his lesson? Verse 46. Seeing you thrust the word of God from yourselves and count yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentile. He insists them even more. Just like Matthew 15, verses 12, 13, and 14. The apostles came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you offended the people. Jesus didn't reach into his bag of sermon material and pull out a message and told them, how you go over there and take that to the people? He didn't apologize for it. He told them, you go right back over there and tell them they blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both gonna fall in a big old ditch. And every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Christ was kind every opportunity he had. But neighbor, when he had to be stern, firm, and fierce, he was. What did he say to the house of Jerusalem? Matthew 23. Oh, you generation of vipers, snakes! How can you escape the damnation of hell? Your house is left and you desolate. What about Stephen, that gospel preacher? I hear a lot about Stephen, but we really don't discuss the punchline very often. Stephen was no one's dummy. Here's the most brilliant sermon you'll ever find in one chapter. Here's a brilliant 3-point sermon. God raised up Joseph. His brethren rejected him. Nevertheless, Joseph delivered him. Point number 2, God raised up Moses. His brethren reject him. Nevertheless, Moses delivered him. 3rd point. And here's where it got kind of close. God raised up Jesus and you crucified him. But if there was ever a man able to forgive you for sins, he'll be the one that does it. And then in verse 51 of Acts 7, what did that gospel preacher tell him in his lesson? Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised hearts and ears, even as your father so do you, always resisting the Holy Spirit. How did they like that? They picked up stones and killed that preacher. Later, the one that accompanied them on that dastardly deed said from a castle stairs in Acts 22, ye faithful martyr Stephen. And the greatest point of that gospel preacher's face, he had the courage and the guts enough to stand up and preach the truth to an angry mob and insist them even more of the truth. He didn't pick and choose nice little sermonettes that wouldn't bother them. He chose the very message that those people needed to hear, even though it cost them his life. You ever read John chapter 5, verse 35? Jesus said of John the Immerser, he was a burning and a shining light, and for a season you stood in his light. Matthew 11 and 11, there was never born one of a woman ever risen greater than he. What did you go out to see when you went out to hear John the Immerser? A reed bent over by the wind and gave clothing? No, you went out to hear a man preach repentance with all the power of his being. And John the Baptizer wasn't eating at the best restaurant in town. He didn't have a very good diet, and he sure enough didn't have a fancy wardrobe. But Jesus says there was never born one of a woman ever risen greater than he. When you go out to hear John the Baptizer, what you go out to hear? You went out to hear a man preach repentance with all the power of his being. And I've heard brethren and preachers who claim to be gospel preachers say they wouldn't refuse to baptize anybody. Isn't that strange? John the Baptizer, in the business of baptizing, refused to baptize. Matthew chapter 3. Did it not take courage when those leaders come out mocking and saying, baptize us? Did it not take courage for God's statements to say, not until you bring forth fruit worthy repentance? And if a man is in the baptizing been to refuse to baptize, I believe I should too. The first thing the Lord told me to do was preach the truth to everybody I meet. And when I do that, he says, shepherd, well done, good and faithful servant. And I'm not going to baptize nobody that denies Jesus Christ. Would you baptize an infidel? I'm not going to baptize an impenitent person either. And a man who mocks God with his life. Oh, how we need to have the courage those faithful statements of God did. And another courageous sermon was preached in Acts 24, 24. We hear verse 25 all our lives, but we never get to verse 24 very often. What made Felix tremble? Here's a man that's in charge of this prisoner. He's really inclined toward him. J.W. McGovern, in his books on the book of Acts on the conversions and non-conversions, tells us the background of Felix. One of the sorriest men that's ever lived. He had no right to be living with Drusilla. He was a laughing stock even among his own people. He's in charge of Paul in prison. If Paul preaches to him what he want to hear, he'll turn Paul loose. Paul will be free. But nevertheless, what did that gospel preacher do? He went into a sermon file cabinet and pulled out the three most likely subjects to incense Felix: righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. What that faithful preaching? It made Felix tremble. I admire a preacher who preach what people need to hear instead of what they want to hear. Yes, John the Immerser lost his head for preaching the truth boldly. But neighbor, I tell you what, I'd rather lose my head for preaching the truth than to lose my soul for naught. It does take courage in this day and time for us to be really to be gospel preachers. It always have. But in this day and time, it's going to take some courage. Preaching under God's banner, doing his will. But we hadn't gotten close to the whole story yet. In Amos chapter 7, the priest said to Amos, why don't you go back home to your hometown, Tekoa, and preach that to your own home people down there? We're tired of hearing it up here, and we'll give you some support. We'll help you get home. Did you know that there's a Jewish legend that say that priest's son hit Amos in the head with a club, and Amos staggered home to his hometown, Tekoa, and fell dead right there in the middle of the streets just by the gates, clubbed to death for being a preacher of truth? All through the book of Amos, there's a whole lot of them wanted to hit that country preacher in the head. And another all-time favorite is Daniel of Belshazzar. And again, we missed the punchline. It is not you've been waiting the balance and found warning. The punchline come four verses early that tells us why he's been waiting the balance and found warning. Daniel says in chapter 5, verse 23, the God who made you, him, you have not glorified. How would you like to be told that in front of all your guests? But I tell you what, it was true. And then Daniel tell Belshazzar, the night your life will be taken from this earth. And true enough, that night Belshazzar's life was taken from this earth because Daniel, God's statesman, was a truth teller. Oh, how are we going to have the courage those ancient, faithful preachers of God did? And while there's always true preachers, there's always false ones, just like in this day and time. And old Hananiah, he was the grandstander. He was the people pleaser. He was the applause getter. No wonder Jesus said, woe unto you when all men should speak well of you. Luke 6, 26. Woe unto you, all the false prophets. Do we really want to be God's preachers and teachers? Do we? Do we really have the courage to stand up and be strong? Jesus was the perfect preacher. The ideal preacher. The master teacher. And yet, there was a division among the people because of him. That's a direct quote of John 7, 43. And John 15, 22, if I had not come, you'll have cloak for your sins. Now that I have come, you have no cloak for your sins. Let me tell you something. When we preach like Christ preached, when we preach like Jeremiah preached, and Joshua, and Paul, and Samuel, we're going to aggravate everybody that's walking in sin and in error. And Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Ephesians 6:17, say the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And Hebrews 4:12, say the word of God is quick and powerful. Neighbor is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the divine discerner of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Paul said in Philippians 1:17, speaking from the Waldorf Astoria in Beverly Hills, California. No, he was speaking from a prison cell in Rome under Nero, the despotic Caesar. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:17. And to the elders in Ephesus, he said, brethren, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are set apart. Jeremiah 4:8:10, here come another word from the Lord. Cursed be to him that slack in doing the Lord's work. Woe be to him that keep back his sword from blood. Joel 3:14, the great prophet, 8 centuries before Pentecost, said, multitudes in a valley of decision. And neighbor, when we preach, that's where the world stands, in the valley of decision. And if we don't let them know they're standing there, we're not gospel preachers. The story is told about the Prince of Wales that was on an old steam engine train many, many years ago, on his way down in London to preside at the House of Parliament. And right out in the middle of a pastor, the train stopped. The prince was frantic. He asked the conductor, are we out of water? The conductor said, no, we got plenty of water. It's just not boiling. And neighbor, we have plenty of preachers in our brotherhood. They are just not on fire for the Lord. When we get up in the pulpit and give some little kindergarten Sunday school lesson instead of challenging people to dig deep down in their heart and leave the stronger people, better people, more convicted people, neighbor, we've let the Lord down. We need to share with people the message they need to hear and by which they'll be judged. John 12:48. I operate on the principle, since I'm going to have to face the word of the Lord in the day of judgment, I might as well face it right now. Head on, no apology, no peanuts, pecans, or icing on the cake, just plain vanilla. The better off we'll all be. Some congregations in our brotherhood have become nothing but unglorified, hand-clapping, humming, entertaining social clubs. And I'm not going to even say glorified. We train a generation or two on youth rallies, entertainment, family life centers, Saturday night sing-outs, beach outs, Six Flags, now sports and gymnasium. And the first time they hear a plain, straightforward gospel sermon, they gag. We need to be gospel preachers, faithful proclaimers of the faithful word. And I don't know of a greater verse than Ezra 7:10. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, and to do it. And they're teaching Israel statutes and judgment. God says in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not come back to me void. It shall accomplish that for which I have sent it. And Ezekiel 3:17 say we've been made watchmen to give sinners warning from God. And if we fail to do it, that blood will be required at our hands. But if there's a passage that sums up everything we've said so far, it's Amos 8:11-12. There's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but of hearing the word of God. And neighbor, that's the worst kind of famine that it is. Paul say, I preach Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Nathan, the truth teller of all time, said to a king in his palace, thou art the man. You're the sinner I'm talking about. And you know what that king said in essence? Oh yes, you're right. I've sinned. What if there hadn't been a Nathan? Oh, what precious treasures of the Old Testament writings we would have missed. What if there hadn't been a preacher with courage enough to rebuke a king? I wonder sometime in our brotherhood, do brethren really know what they are looking for when they advertise for a gospel preacher? What do you think the work of a gospel preacher is? What do preachers who claim to be gospel preachers envision that work to be? As a dying man speaking to dying men with a message in his heart, he should stand forth without apology and preach the word urgently. One ancient faithful gospel preacher says, where is the highest heavens my pulpit and the innumerable host of angels my audience and eternity my time, Jesus Christ would always be my text. And we often sing a charge to keep our heaven God to glorify, a never dying soul to save and fitted for the sky. Noah, was he a successful preacher? Now, before you answer that question, you must remember that he preached over 100 years and one with 8 righteous souls saved, 1 Peter 3:20. Neighbor, all I know is what the Holy Spirit says. He was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. I'd rather for the Lord to say that about me than for brethren to say I read more gospel means, appeared on more lectureship, or had more responses than anybody anyway. Have you ever read the parable of the sower? Does it say a young, handsome, well-educated, well-dressed, preacher so deceived? It just say a soul, soul, the seed, the power's in the word. And when we preach, the variable becomes the soil in which the seed falls. And did you notice there was only one good kind of soil in the parable of the sower? Thank God for honest hearts, because across the years, there has been 3 out of 4 that weren't that way. We have no right to blame the sower of the seed, because he preaches the word. And one of the main reasons today why we have a shortage of faithful gospel preachers and young men who don't want to be preachers is because they hadn't seen brethren at large treat a gospel preacher like the parable of the sower says he ought to be treated. When I preach the gospel, I never fail. But now if I fail to preach the gospel, I fail. But I never fail when I preach the gospel. And preachers who dry up and quit because don't nobody come down the aisle or the church don't want to do nothing and go from town to town establishing a little handful of works, who they serving? God said, I'll give the increase, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll add to the church, Acts 2 and 47. I'll block names out, Revelation 3, 1 to 5. Let's lead that up to God and let's just preach the word. They that gladly received the word were baptized. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often did I want to save you? As a mother hen gathers the chicks up on her wings, but you would not. Jesus said in John 1:11, he came into his own received not. That's Jesus, the master teacher. He received not by his own. In John 5:40, you would not come to me that you might have life. And people are still guilty of that very fact today. In Mark 6:6, are you aware of the fact that Jesus marveled at their unbelief? And I stand amazed right today at people who heard enough gospel to save the whole entire universe. And it pours off them like water running off a duck's back. Does it mean the preacher failed who sowed the seed? No, it means they failed. When we mount the polemic platform in front of the God of heaven, not man, but in front of God, and preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20, 27, and keep back nothing, Acts 20, verse 20, neighbor, that's been successful. And when we go out to gospel meetings and workshops and lectureship, we don't go back running, bragging about how many did we baptize. Go back and tell them about how many did you teach. Because the such as might have not have been there, but did you sow the seed? Preach the word of God faithfully. And oh, how it's needed, friend. Oh, how it's needed. Well, that brings up to the wind-up point on this lesson. A faithful preaching of God's word. But neighbor, if we're going to be gospel preachers, preaching under God's banner, that means we are going to have to preach the truth on so-called, I said so-called, controversial subjects. In the remaining moments, I just want to list a few of them. Lest you say I preached for 30 minutes, just stating principles, but never did make no application. That means we are going to have to preach the truth on such things as church discipline. And if the government or some weak-kneed member of the Lord's church want to sue us for $1 million a day, neighbor, they just going to have to sue us at Westside Pensacola, because we're going to obey God rather than man. We're going to have to preach the truth on that. We are going to have to preach the truth on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, even though more and more and more and more this thing is filtered in the church. It has become so tragic, it has even filtered in God's pulpits and God elderships. But neighbor, we're going to have to preach the truth on it. God's law on marriage, let me give it to you. That's one man for one woman, from the marriage altar to the cemetery, until death separates it. Not until sin separates it, until death separates it. That's God's law on marriage. Genesis chapter 2 and Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Not Matthew 19, 9. We're going to have to preach the truth on that. We're going to have to preach the truth on giving. And a lot of brethren get aggravated at any preacher who preaches on giving, claim he preaching for a raise. But there is so much in the Bible on giving and giving to the cause of Christ generously. We're going to have to preach the truth on that, friend. We are going to have to preach the truth on modest apparel, because 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 12 demands it, even though we still got a lot of our brethren going around here cutting their grass bareback with no shirt on. It has become popular for ladies who claim to be Christians to be on the drill teams, to be majorettes, to be cheerleaders, and prance around 10,000 people every Friday and Saturday night at the football game half-dressed. And they kick their heels up high upon hundreds of thousands on television at the Mardi Gras in Mobile, Pensacola, and New Orleans. But neighbor, we still going to have to preach what 1 Timothy 2 says. I'm not finna back up off it not one bit. We're going to have to preach the truth on it, friend. And we are going to have to preach the truth on hell. And you know what? I don't hear much preaching on hell anymore, do you? I listen to some of the radio programs and some of the television programs that our brethren present, and they hardly ever mention or say anything about hell anymore. Do we not believe Mark 9:43-48 no more? Revelation 21:1-8? Matthew 25:31-46? They shall go away into everlasting punishment. That must be in the Bible for a purpose, even though it's not palatable to a whole lot of people in this so-called sophisticated society that we live in. But neighbor, we still going to have to preach it if we faithful preachers. We are going to have to preach the truth on world evangelism, even though in 1998, we still have brethren from every race, class, tribe, and tongue so prejudiced toward one another, they can't stand to come up in a church out and sit side by side and worship God. But maybe we're going to have to rebuke prejudice and bias and that old Gentilism that keep the gospel away from people because of the color of their skin, their educational attainments, or how much money they got. Some congregations in our brotherhood that's got a certain sign hanging out there in the parking lot have not baptized anybody in 16 years. Haggai chapter 1. Because they think they're so much better than those sinners out there, they claim they don't want to bring that trash into church. And then finally, brethren, we're going to have to teach the truth on dancing and drinking. We've got Bible classes and from our pulpits today with people call themselves preachers and elders who are defending social drinking and what's called a Bible class. Giving young people permission to do it. Don't you believe it, friend? There's one verse in the Bible, take care of that all by itself. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. But just in case you need another one, 1 Peter 2:11 prohibits the consumption of alcohol to any degree. That filthy practice is forbidden among God's people. And then finally, brethren, we're going to have to run the gospel of Christ and the doctrine of Christ side by side. Thank you for listening.
I don't know that I've ever heard a lesson that was more capable of demonstrating the topic that he was dealing with than this one today. And all I can say is amen to what you have had to say to us about preaching the word, Brother Shepherd.